of individuals who tried to play with God. See, these individuals that had crept into the church, they were trying to play with God. They were coming in pretending to be people of faith who were leading people the right way, but they came in and perverted the message and started leading people the wrong way.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. I'm Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of God Don't Play. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of God Don't Play.
And they said, we're not going to go up. And God rebuked them through Moses. He rebuked them. And they had a change of heart. And they said, well, we will go up. And God said, don't go up because I'm not with you now. I'm not with you now. Don't go up. And they tried to do something that God never meant for them to do. And they experienced the judgment of God. And I think what God was letting them know that you don't play with me. You know, if I tell you to do something, then you need to do it. Don't ruin the message that I've put. Man, God fed these folk every day. He dropped food down out of the sky, and they were able to eat every day. God brought water out of a rock, and they had unbelief. All the miracles that he did, all the things that they did, and they still struggled with unbelief. Let's bring this thing right down here to 7734 Tioga Street. Where's our faith at? I wonder if God gets frustrated with us when we don't believe. When God tells us to step out, when God tells us to move. You know, I was going back and I was looking at when I first came here about 13 years ago and how that God had laid some things on my heart. And I just tried to be obedient to God and do what God said. And you know, everything that God put on my heart to do, we have done it. We have done it. And as I look back, you know, there was times when folk would say, well, where are we going to get the money from? Well, we don't have the room to do this. Well, how are we going to do this? You know, I don't know. I just know this is what God said. And if God said it, then we got to step out on faith. You know, there are some families here. That God is calling you to step out on faith this morning. And you're playing with God. You're playing with God. If God has told you to step out on faith and to trust me and believe me, I always tell folk, if God tells you to buy the moon, you go ahead and sign the contract because he's going to make the payments. He just says step out on faith. And once again, I'm not talking about a stupid faith. I'm not talking about an idiotic faith. You know, there's one thing that I'm more and more convinced of as a result of teaching this apologetics class. Man, this apologetics class was the greatest thing as far as faith is concerned that I could do. Because it shows me that there is a substance behind our faith. It shows me that there is a foundation behind our faith. And that even though we might be stepping out and not necessarily sure of everything that's going on, that we can step out because we serve a God who is steadfast and secure. We serve a God who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And I've been falling in love with this God. I've been getting to learn this God in a different way now. I knew him before, but I'm getting to know him now because he's powerful, and he's able to do whatever it is he says that he'll do. And so when we don't believe, when we don't have faith, when we doubt in our hearts, God is not happy. And I challenge you today, don't play with God. Don't play with God. Unbelief. The second thing, the second example that he gives, And I have to say that there is a lot of controversy as to what this verse exactly means. So I'll give you the two interpretations and then we can kind of go from there. But I think that there's one thing that's clear, and that is the sin that they did commit. In verse 6, he says, "And the angels, who kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day." One interpretation is, we know that when God created the angels, he created them all in a state of holiness. And all the angels resided in the presence of God in heaven. And when Satan in Isaiah chapter 12 or 14, I'm not sure which one it is right now. My Old Testament class should be able to tell me that, but I'm not going to call on you right now. In Isaiah, I believe it was 14, I'm going to say, that when Satan rose up, or Lucifer, as he was created, you know, so kids say, well, how come God made the devil? Well, God didn't make the devil. God created an angel by the name of Lucifer. And Lucifer decided one day that he had a different agenda from God's agenda. And he said, I'm going to exalt myself above God. I'm going to lift my throne above the stars of the heaven. And at that time, God cast him out of heaven. And in Revelation chapter 12, it says that when Satan fell out of heaven, that he took a third of the angels with him. So these angels that left their first habitation, they left their first estate. And now what has happened to them? They have been cast into utter darkness. Now, if you'll notice these two things about the first examples that Jude gives, all right, notice this, that in the first example, Israel experienced the blessings of God because God brought them out of the land of Egypt. Notice the second example. In the second example, the angels enjoyed the blessings of God because he created them in a state of holiness. And so I believe the point here is very clear that, like your daddy used to tell you, because I know my daddy said it to me, boy, I brought you in this world and I'll take you out. And that's what's happening here. God, look. I brought you out of Egypt and I can take you out of here. I created you in holiness in heaven and I can put you out. And so what God is trying to let us see is that when we play with him, there are consequences that must be faced. That there are issues that we're going to have to step up to the plate and we're going to have to look God square in the face and we're going to have to deal with it. In 1984, National Geographic ran an article, and we all remember that Roman city, Pompeii. And in 79 AD, Mount Vesuvius erupted and there was a great volcano. And ash came, and you know, there were people that were living in luxury. They were living high on the hog in their exotic homes, in their luxurious dining facilities, and in their pools. And this ash from and this lava from the volcano just swept through the city, killing animals and killing people and destroying property. And you know what? The article went on to say that the folks didn't have to die. Because weeks before that, the volcano was rumbling, and it was giving all kinds of signs. As a matter of fact, a couple of weeks before, it was shooting smoke up in the air, and they didn't make preparation to avoid the judgment. They didn't make preparation. The judgment was coming, and they didn't make preparation to get out of the way. And some of us, man, we are here in a state of just doing what we want to do. Rebelling against God, like Satan, like those angels, just rebelling against God. And the signs are coming. The signs are all around. You know, I love God. I'm going to tell you what. I love God. But you know what? I realize that you can't play with God. And that sometimes, you know, we get involved in things and God gives us warnings. God lets a little smoke shoot up from the volcano. God gives us a little rumbling around, and we just continue on and ignore the signs. And pretty soon, the judgment of God will fall. Now, it may take many forms. The volcano might come through your finances. Shoom. Just consume them all up. The volcano might come by way of a relationship that will be corrupted. The volcano may come because you will have frustration and heartache from this point on until you get this thing right. So don't always think that the judgment of God is going to come in the form of death. The judgment of God takes various forms. And it's all a part of the fact that God is trying to get our attention. If God did not spare these angels, you know one thing, you know the difference between man and angels? Is that all the angels right now that are saved will always be saved. And all the angels right now that are lost will always be lost. But we got a chance to give our hearts to God. And I believe when we get to heaven, there's something that we'll do. Pastor Glaze is going to get together a choir in heaven. There you go. Somebody believes in me. Pastor Glaze is going to get a choir together in heaven. And we're going to take a section of angels. And we're going to sit them down in heaven. And I'm going to lead us in a chorus of Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And why can't I do that? You know why? Because the angels don't know the grace of salvation. They will never know what it feels like to be lost and then get saved. Never. Because God said, those angels that kept not their first estate, that they are cast down into chains of everlasting darkness. And if God didn't spare them, how in the world do you think that you can enjoy all the grace of God and do what you want to do, live in rebellion, and not have to deal with some consequences? Now, don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not saying that God is this heavenly policeman up in the sky with this nightclub or blackjack that waiting for you to get out of line so he can pop. Because, God, you know what, the fact of the matter, God has been gracious to some of us now. I tell you what, I see some saints that are doing some things, and I just wonder how they can keep on abusing the grace of God. And you know, it's just like that that old proverbial sword of Damocles hanging over their head, you know, just waiting to come down on you. And God is giving you warnings, and God is saying, look, if I didn't spare the angels, if those thirds of the angels that were cast out, he said, I could have took them back in, but because of their rebellious nature, that they are lost forever. And I would say the number one problem with the child of God is rebellion. When God tells you to read the word and you don't read the word, what? That's rebellion. When God tells you to do such and such a thing and you don't do it, that's rebellion. And there needs to be an act of repentance in that we can fall on our face before the Lord and call on him and turn to him and say, Lord, that I don't want to go my way anymore, but I want to turn and I want to go your way. When we realize that God don't play. God don't play. And then look at verse 7. In verse 7, he gives the example here of Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And here, the residents of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, you got to get the picture in mind here. Here, once again, Jude is condemning these false prophets. He's condemning these individuals that have crept into the church and that are trying to infiltrate the church. Well, you know what happened back in Sodom and Gomorrah? And once again, I know this is a sensitive issue and that you know, we have to tread lightly because there's all kind of views and things of that nature. But the fact of the matter is that there were many back in Sodom and Gomorrah that were caught leading people into sexual relationships that were not healthy, that were immoral, and quote unquote vis-a-vis, aka homosexuality. You know, that was what it was. Let's call it like it is. And there were, you remember when God sent those two angels down into Sodom and Gomorrah to warn Lot about the impending judgment? And they came in, and these guys heard that these people were in Lot's home, and they came and they knocked on the door and they said, "Let us in." He said, "Well, why do you want to come in?" They said, "So we can have sex with those guys that are in your house." He said, "Don't do that, brothers. Don't do that. I can't let you come in and do that. I got two daughters right here. Why don't you take them?" They said, "No, we don't want them. We want them brothers that came in there." And at that point, God smote them with blindness, and they couldn't see anymore. And so there were many that were infiltrating Sodom and Gomorrah that had corrupted them. And if we went back to read the story, we find out that he burned the cities with fire because of that sin of wickedness, that sin of perversion. He burned it down. And God at that point was not gracious. You know, I think that there's something that we need to realize. But once again, I don't want to shun the grace of God or neglect the goodness of God and the mercy of God. But we need to realize that, you know, there comes a time when God says, "That's enough. That's enough." Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit. That's enough. That's enough. In 1 John chapter 5, there's a sin unto death. I pray that it don't come onto you. That's enough. God don't play. And I don't stand up here claiming to be some perfect individual. But there's one thing that I want to do. I want to have a sense and an awe of God in my life. And to say that, "God, I want to honor you. And God, whatever it takes, that I want to serve you the best that I can." Because I don't want to fall under the judgment of God. I remember there was a pastor in Virginia. And he had a person in his church that just jumped up. And you know, the pastor was, you could tell that the anointing of God was on the pastor. And the pastor was doing things, and the church was just growing. And there was an individual in the church that stood up and openly rebuked the pastor because he didn't agree with the vision. And, we got too many people coming in here. Now, we don't know all these people. You know, we want us four no more and shut the door. You know, one of these individuals. All right. I don't know how this happened. I don't really don't know how it happened. But the next week, the man was driving a tractor, fell off the tractor. And the tractor ran over him, took him out. I don't understand that. I remember I was ministering up in Arvonia, Virginia, the New Testament Baptist Church. We had Vacation Bible School. We needed some workers to come help at Vacation Bible School. We went to one of the deacons of the church. He wasn't doing anything. So, "Look, man, we just need you to come and just be there to show some male presence." He said, "I can't. I got to finish doing some stuff in my garden. I can't come." You know, that fall, every one of that brother's crops rotted. Every one of them rotted. See, you don't play with God. If God tells you to do something, don't have unbelief. If God tells you to do something, don't rebel. And we see in this situation right here that even in the case of immorality, perversion, that God just got, he gave an example. Well, why did God put it here? Because he was showing them that he takes this thing serious. We had the opportunity yesterday to share with people about premarital counseling. And one of the issues that we dealt with, is that there was a couple of books that we had. One book was entitled Intended for Pleasure by Ed Wheat. Another book was How to Have a Great Sex Life. And, and these books were designed for people who had not been married. And they were designed for people to prepare them for their wedding night. And you know what? The sad thing is that books like that are really not in great demand anymore, because when it comes to the wedding night, most people have already been there and beyond. And I think that, we need to realize that this whole issue of immorality in this area, that God is looking down and God is not pleased with folks who are involved in immoral relationships, who continue to cohabitate. Now, this program is going to be on the radio. So there'll be a lot of people that will hear that word too. But you need to get the thing straight and honor God in the relationship. You know, I know we live in a society where this is very acceptable. I mean, it's acceptable. You know, it's as a matter of fact, people think that, well, you know, I got to test drive the car before I buy it. And that's the attitude that we have in our society today. But you know, the only problem with the attitude is that it doesn't glorify the Lord. It doesn't glorify the Lord. And my prayer to God is that we would have a group of people in this church that would focus on the fact that they want to honor God and that they want to be sexually pure before the Father and not get involved in the thing just because everybody else is doing it. That don't mean you got to do it. God says, if you honor me, he says that I will give you vineyards that you haven't planted. I will give you houses that you haven't built. I will give you wells that you have not dug. I will build cities that you have not built. If you will honor me, you will have the blessings in your life. But don't play with me. And how can we play with God? Through unbelief, as he gave us an example here. Through rebellion, as he gave us the example of the angels. Oh, let me give you that other example. I didn't get to that. I know somebody will say when I stand at the back, Pastor, what was that other example about those angels? What was that other view about those angels? Let me give it to you real quick. In Genesis chapter 6, it says that the sons of God cohabitated with the daughters of men, and that there was a race of giants that were born as a result of this cohabitation. And many believe that when the angels left their first estate, what it was talking about, that they actually came down. And once again, I have to say this, that even if you go and look at Genesis 6, there's about five views to that passage back there. But this is one of the views that people have used to interpret Jude. And they say that those individuals cohabitated. They left their first estate. They left their natural state and came and cohabitated with the daughters of men and had children. And that God was not pleased with that. And God judged them because of that. So that's the other view. That's the other view. But it is clear, regardless of which view you hold to, that the whole issue there was rebellion. It was rebellion. And that when we rebel against God, God is not pleased. But I got good news as I close the message today. I don't want to leave us in a down state. You know, the young people got us pumped up this morning. You know, sometimes when I'm sitting up here thinking about my message, and I'm thinking, man, they really got the people excited this morning and you know, got them pumped up. And I got to come and deliver this bad news, man. Amen. Amen. But, you know, I got to tell you what the word. And, you know, the beautiful thing about this is, see, we're in the series now anyway. So I'm going verse by verse. So I can't change. This is where we're at right now. Next week, we'll be in verse 8 and on. So I can't change that next week either. But the thing I'm trying to say is that God wants us to take him serious. And I would just encourage you today that you don't play with God. That if God has told you to do something, don't rebel against that. Don't have unbelief. And then, once again, he gives us this illustration of Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't get involved in any immorality, but honor God with your life.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Prophecies Concerning False Teachers. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, God Don't Play, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request God Don't Play. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request God Don't Play. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.